now to something that was on RTE last night, the Eurovision. And Bambi Thug managing to do what we haven't been able to do as a country since 2018. 6 long years of failure. We're now into a final.
See the crowd. I'm telling you. Bambi Thug. Now that's Matt up there, creative directors. 22, Sergio Hines from Spain. That was a tremendous, tremendous performance.
But only 3 more spots to go. The 8th finalist is...
It's amazing. You just never know what this contest. You never know. Voted by people across the world tonight.
Croatia.
No surprise there. Tim, Tim, Taggy Tim. Maybe Lasagna.
Just 2 places left. The 9th finalist tonight is...
Only 2 places left. Are we going to do this, lads? I mean, really?
It's Ireland!
Yes! At last! Make us wait.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. We're in the thing at last. Oh, that's fantastic.
But 6 nervous countries all hoping to get that last spot in Saturday's final.
Jane, could have a lie down, please. Somewhere.
Last finalist of this semi.
Poor old Marty Whelan there, having to have a lie down after the excitement of it all. Let some scream out of him when they finally qualified. The second last country called out, no particular order, of course, according to popularity. But there you go. What did you make of it all? What did you make of the visuals of it? The pentagram, the circle, the dark nature of elements of it. Lots of different opinions being talked about and being dealt about online, that's for sure, with regards to that. But look, we asked 2 people who we knew were going to be watching it anyway to watch it for us and give us their view on I suppose, the qualification and the performance. Francis Given is with us on the line, and we've Carmel Russell as well. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Terry.
Morning, Terry.
Okay, Carmel, I'll start with you. What did you make of it? Are you happy, first of all, that we're through, finally, after 6 years, to a final?
Absolutely thrilled. You interviewed me, Jerry, when Bambi Thug got in the Euro song.
I did.
And if you remember, what I said was I was almost positive she'd get through, and I think that she might finish in the top 5.
Yeah, and that's what the bookies are saying.
Oh, really?
They're saying she's 5th favourite.
Oh, I didn't know that. If a person was watching last night and didn't see the Irish flag, you know, if somebody just turned on the telly and didn't realise that Bambi was from the Irish, we would probably be saying, oh, what country sent that in? But it could go through because it was so different. And I just feel there's a lot of begrudgery about the Eurovision because we have been spoiled with the Johnny Logans and the Danas and all of that, but we have to move on. And I'm very impressed. I was very impressed with all of it last night. I was Luxembourg and the Ukraine, I thought, were really, really good. There was a few that wasn't bit surprised they didn't go through. But
yeah,
as for ourselves, I'm very delighted, thrilled.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Well, look, it's true, and we're true to the final. Francis, what did you make of it all? First of all, look, the performance last night.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought that the songs themselves were all terrible because it's just not my kind of music. But I thought in general terms, the performance was fantastic. If that's your thing, the music was fantastic. You know, Bambi Tug gave a super performance. They put their all into it, and there's an element of, you know, this morning we should be celebrating, putting on the green jersey and saying Bambi Tug did something super and great for Ireland at a time when we all need a lift, and it's always great to have a lift. It's that kind of Italian 90 buzz when the whole country's coming together and talking about, did you see what was on the telly last night? And I think Carmel's right there. There's always going to be whingers and moaners this morning, and you're always going to have them. They're going to be sitting down at the keyboard, and if it's not Bambi Tug, it's going to be something else they're going to be complaining about. But I thought last night was brilliant. It was theater, it was art, and it was it's kind of a celebration of Europe coming together, although, you know, with more countries in there as well than Europe, including Australia. But fantastic, overall fantastic.
Yeah, and was it that element of Francis that you have to look at this as number one, the song, but number two, the actual performance, the staging, the theatre of the whole thing, which Eurovision has become almost as important as the song in the last number of years, certainly. The visuals and what you're doing on stage, your makeup, all of that, the choreography has become a much bigger part of what is, it's a song contest, but it's a televisual song contest.
Exactly, Jerry, and I think it's more to do with the fact that all of us are getting older and that the younger generations these days are more visual, they have shorter attention spans because they're on their phone all the time, so everything has to become a little bit more over the top to get there and retain their attention, and there's a little bit of kind of generational amnesia going on here this morning as well, because I remember my mother talking about her mother, when they were growing up in North Kerry in Kilflin, giving out about the likes of Elvis gyrating and thrusting his hips up on the stage in Las Vegas, and also the Beatles were four fellas from outer space at the time, and they were doing something totally off the charts and totally new. And then you come down to my generation, and my mother suffered from generational amnesia because she couldn't understand why Madonna was up there with the video for the song Like a Prayer, doing all kinds of crazy things. And then I was into Guns N' Roses at the time, so she used to see Axl Rose running around in a leotard wearing makeup and his nails painted. And it's just this level of kind of, you know, every generation forgets really what the one before was like. And it's just, you know, it's harmless fun. It's theatre. It's a bit of a laugh. It's European countries coming together. And I think now we should kind of put shoulder to the wheel and put on the green jersey, get behind Bambi Tug and celebrate what is a victory for Ireland.
Yeah. Carmel listener says, Dave gets in touch this morning, Carmel, and says, Jerry, whoever thought Ireland's song was strange, those opinions and fears must be put to bed after Finland's act last night. A man running around bottomless, by God.
I missed that. Yeah. I'll have to rewind.
Not like you, Carmel.
I know.
Well, what do you make of the overall argument about people who would be upset about the imagery, the spells, the witchcraft, the pentagram, some people calling it devil worship and Satanism?
Tell them listen to it on the radio and they won't have to watch it.
That's an answer, I suppose.
Sorry if I've insulted anyone, but, you know,
it's just a show.
It's just a show. I mean, very visual. I mean, she changed costume on stage. Bambi Tug changed costume on stage. It was just, I don't know. I enjoyed it, and hopefully yeah, and I won't get lambasted for my opinion.
Francis, in terms of that, it was a tour de force. You couldn't take your eyes off it, whether you liked it or didn't, for some people. There's attempts on the political side of this to drag it into the culture war, which it is in every sort of, say, or maybe Bambi Tug, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Bambi Tug is wading into the culture war with the reveal of the colours of the trans flag in her outfit, the whole discussion this morning now, where she had the Om tattoo on her face, which said ceasefire and free Palestine, and that was ordered that it had to be removed by the EBU, European Broadcasting Union, because of the fact that it's non-political. You're not allowed to have political slogans on stage. So there was that element to it as well. So is it a question of, like, there's elements of the far right in Britain, politicians, former chairman of the British National Party, saying this is a battle for the soul of Ireland, people who are rightly protesting what they call mass immigration, and meanwhile we've got a non-binary witch whose song glorifies satanic sacrifice. So there's those elements of it that are coming to the political side of it. Is all that just noise to your mind? Or is there some responsibility for people going into it? Really?
Yeah, no, I think it's absolute nonsense. I think that social media has a lot to answer for. There's a lot of people out there who are angry, and I blame... So I think we look back in 20, 30 years' time and wonder why we did more to either regulate or ban entirely social media. There's a lot of people who are angry because of the way the algorithms are set up on social media, and they're going down these rabbit holes, getting into these culture wars. And really, the big message I would say is just chill out. If it wasn't Bambi Thug, they'd be angry or giving out or criticizing something else. And I think there's a general anger there that's coming from social media. I think the culture wars are fabricated and they're driven by social media, because anger sells. And that's the business model of the social media platforms. The more contentious, the more anger they generate, the more they get people of a certain ilk engaged. And I think that's all that's going on here. And I think people need to take it for what it was. In the same way that Madonna's Like a Prayer video or Axl Rose jumping around the stage wearing all kinds of queer makeup, or Elvis gyrating back in Las Vegas. I think it's all this thing, and it's just a case of generational amnesia. People need to relax about it. It's just a song. It's just a performance. And fair play, you know, fair play to Bambi Thug. And I think take it for what it is. And we should all now get behind Bambi Thug for this Saturday night. Get the popcorn out, get the friends over, and cheer Ireland on. And what is a good news story, you know? And I always think these kind of events, it's a little bit like Italia 90, or, you know, you don't even have to be into the Eurovision. You know, when Ireland, a couple of years ago, the Irish cricket team started doing very well, and I was watching cricket with my brother-in-law, who's English and loves cricket, and all of a sudden everybody was kind of getting behind the cricket team, and it was that sense of buzz.
Yeah.
When you're down in the post office, you're saying, did you watching the cricket last night? Some fella who wouldn't even know what cricket is, and he's like, I was watching the cricket last night, it was brilliant. And it's that sense
that's
of
the way
community
we interview
coming
it.
Together and
Yeah. From the community point of view. Okay, well, look, stay with us online for a couple of minutes. Want to talk about one or two more things. We'll get to that with Francis and Carmel after we take these. Yeah, keep your comments and views coming into us on the show on 0667123666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 0833003300. We're talking about Eurovision, and we've got our panel on to discuss this in relation to how last night went, Francis Fitzgibbon and Carmel Russell. And Carmel, I want you to have a listen to this one next, because this also happened last night on TV.
Okay.
We sail into infinity. We're higher, reaching for divinity.
Terrific. He sounds terrific. He is magnificent. He really is. And he is Eurovision royalty, Johnny Logan. He should release that, sir.
as a fatal.
Absolutely amazing. Johnny Logan.
Yeah, there you go. That's what happened last night. That was amazing, wasn't it, Carmel? I wasn't expecting it.
When I was younger, I thought the only reason I'm single is I thought I'd actually marry Johnny Logan. He's just amazing. He's 70 next week, actually. So he is, and he sounded amazing and looked amazing.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
And a brilliant idea as well,
yeah.
Francis, to have him, yeah, Carmel as well, to have him singing that song, and the song that was that won for Sweden, and doing a different version of it, and it was very well put together,
yeah.
Which the whole show was last night.
Jerry, in the beginning last night, I was watching with somebody, but when Johnny Logan came on, I did see, I wonder, is that a hint? Is that like that we're going to get through? Because I was thinking, okay, it was Sweden and Johnny Logan and all that, but the signs, I think, were there that we were going to get through.
You just felt it.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, yeah. Maybe it's because I wished it.
Francis, that goes back to the days of Johnny Logan, Hold Me Now, and What's Another Year, what kind of helped start it all off in Ireland, really. So that was a good moment, and again another good TV moment. Overall, it was an entertaining, if crazy at times, and there's mad songs and mad looking people like Bambi Talk taking part in it. It's all part of it.
I remember, and my sister Caroline will kill me for telling this story, but there was mayhem in our house 20, 30 years ago, and it was probably after Johnny Logan won his first Eurovision. And what used to happen then was Linda Martin or Johnny Logan would micro tours of Ireland after they won the Eurovision.
Yes.
So they would come around to all the counties and do these small venues, and Johnny Logan was set to play in the Tralee Bay Hotel, which is now the Seven Hogs Bar in Ahoshla in West Kerry. And we used to have a caravan down in Sandy Bay in Maharees, and my sister was 16 and she wasn't allowed to go to Johnny Logan because I think my mother saw him as some kind of corrupting influence. And that kind of taps into your point there about, you know, what people are saying about Bambi Tug now a little bit. And it had just come off the back of, she was also a huge fan of the Hottest Flowers, who had just played in horns, and also my mother wouldn't allow her to go to that. So there was mayhem in our house for 2 weeks over that, but Johnny Logan was a huge star. And I was too young at the time to appreciate that, but all over my sister's walls, she had posters of Johnny Logan. You know, he was the original heartthrob. He was, back in the day, a real star. You know, if you saw Johnny Logan around the streets in Dublin, it was like seeing Tom Cruise, the equivalent of that these days.
Yeah.
And I guess it was probably more innocent time as well. You know, you had performers like Linda Martin, Dana, a very different kind of Eurovision. Some would say more wholesome. I would say just different, you know, of its time. And
people harking back to that now. They're wondering why we can't win with Rock and Roll Kids or Hold Me Now, but the competition is different.
Yeah, and also don't forget the people voting are younger as well, and their
tastes
have changed, and that's just a natural part of growing old and moving on with life. What we would like to be in Eurovision now is necessarily what people are going to vote for, and that's held up in the fact that in the last 20 years the best we've done, which is saying something, is Jedwert, who came 7th or 8th a couple of years ago, and before that it was Brian Kennedy coming 10th place. So this is one of the better performances in many years. We're finally starting to realise, okay, look, this is what the voters in the Eurovision want. The Eurovision has changed. And if we want to be part of that in the final, and if we want to win, you know, like it or lump it, that's the way we're going to have to go. You can still go on YouTube and watch, you know, Johnny Logan or Linda Martin or Dana at any particular time you want. You know, it's always there for you.
Yeah, it certainly is. Okay, all right. Well, listen, look, we'll look forward to Saturday night anyway, whatever happens, Carmel.
Yeah.
Be something to look forward to for the weekend.
Absolutely, I'll be glued to the TV.
Brilliant. Well, listen, guys, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us this morning and for watching it last night. No, you'll be watching again on Saturday night as well, but thanks a million. It's Francis Given if it's on the line, and also Carmel Russell. If you have a view, get in touch, and lots of you have. Bambi Tug Day Dim, Jerry, I think I did refer to him, unless maybe there was a slip, but first non-binary artist ever to qualify for the final. So it takes a bit of getting used to for everybody. And the Irish song is satanic, says another listener. Eurovision, didn't like it. She looked, Bambi Tug, they looked like a witch on the stage. God be with the days when we were able to enjoy a song with meaning. well, I suppose this is the element of it that we mentioned at the start. You're not, the way the Eurovision has gone over the last number of years, it's getting bigger and bigger, more popular every year, to my mind, across Europe, and garnering more attention. And it's not just the song contest anymore. It's the visual choreography. It's voters watching TV and voting for what they like hearing and what they like seeing. So the days of just putting a song with meaning there, with a fellow with a guitar or a band singing a song about feeling great and being in love or something, I think those days are gone to an extent. A few listeners saying their enjoyment of Eurovision was tainted by the fact that Israel are allowed to take part. The EBU should have thrown them out like Russia. And a lot of people getting involved in that. And that's part of the controversy over Bambi Tug and the Palestinian OM message that she was made to change, because they're saying can't be political on the stage, although people would argue that Ukraine were pretty political when they won it in regards to the invasion for Russia. And all of that, and Ukraine qualified again last night, of course. But if you have a view, get in touch.